WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. Israeli military officials say its troops have recovered bodies from inside Gaza. This is Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner.
Special forces, ground forces, tanks, artillery, in order to seek and find people that may have been killed in the escape or in the exchange by the Hamas terrorists on the Gaza side of the perimeter. And that was the goal of the operation.
Egypt says it'll open a border with Gaza to let humanitarian aid in and to allow people to escape there. American Hanin Okal is trying to get out and rejoin her husband in New Jersey.
My kids are feeling so scared. I had to calm them down and get them distracted all the time. I don't know what's going to happen. But what I know is that I need to be in a safe place, me, my kids. I need to go meet my husband again.
The U.S. has sent a second carrier group to the Eastern Mediterranean. Here's CBS's Linda Kenyon.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan tells CBS's Face the Nation the move is meant to deter surrounding nations from widening the conflict.
There is a risk of an escalation of this conflict, the opening of a second front in the north, and of course of Iran's involvement. That is a risk, and that's a risk that we have been mindful of since the start.
Iran-backed Hezbollah militants in Lebanon have already been firing at Israel, and Israel has been firing back, even as Israel continues to prepare to begin its ground invasion against Hamas in Gaza. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Ohio Republican Jim Jordan wants the job, but not even a GOP majority can guarantee that he will be elected House Speaker. The seat has been vacant for nearly 2 weeks. South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham tells NBC's Meet the Press it's time to get moving.
If I were in the House, I'd vote for Jim Jordan tomorrow. He's a good man, but we need to get a speaker.
Gunshots are probably the last thing anybody expects at a state fair. Tammy Stallcup was near the food court at the Texas State Fair in Dallas when it happened last night.
I mean, it was pop, 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 pop. I mean, it sounds like what you hear gunfire sound like every time you see anything on the news like this.
Police say they arrested the suspect who shot and wounded three people. The injury is non-life-threatening. The fair reopens in about an hour. Taylor Swift's career is as hot as it gets right now. The entertainer did a cameo last night on Saturday Night Live, and now her concert movie is a blockbuster.
People come up to me and they'd be like, you're going to just, like, do a show with, like, all the albums in it? And I was like, yeah, it's going to be called the Eras Tour. See you there.
Swift's film has earned nearly $100 million at the box office on its opening weekend. It's had the seventh biggest opening of the year and is already the top-grossing concert film of all time in North America. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Prescriptions required. Online business.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. People advocating against gerrymandered political maps in Wisconsin hope to derail a new Republican effort to overhaul the process. They say the so-called Iowa-style plan would make matters worse. Mike Moan reports.
Political researchers have long noted that Wisconsin has some of the most gerrymandered maps in the U.S., and Republican lawmakers have controlled the process in recent cycles. They're now pushing through a new plan to create an independent panel to draw new boundaries. But Yuseli Flores of the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition says it contains loopholes that would allow the GOP to essentially keep the reins.
And it just seems like a huge power grab that could permanently change the process for how we draw our state maps, and it just feels like it's going to be detrimental to our communities.
The coalition and Democratic Governor Tony Evers have embraced the idea of an independent process, but they contend this Republican plan doesn't have a high enough threshold to prevent the legislature from intervening. They're urging the Senate to reject the bill, which recently cleared the Assembly. GOP leaders say it's an opportunity to adopt changes constituents have been demanding. But skeptics say this is strictly a response to the state Supreme Court and its new liberal majority agreeing to hear challenges to the most recent maps. Flores says while that plays out, the public doesn't need to be excluded from a rushed attempt to establish new rules.
And what we need is a more independent, transparent, and inclusive process, rather than what they showed us.
If the state Senate gives its approval, Governor Evers has vowed to veto the bill. Meanwhile, the Wisconsin Supreme Court is scheduled to hear arguments in the redistricting case next month. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good Wednesday morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. We are here with Greg Bach on the board. And Greg, we're going to have a very special guest joining us at 10:30 on the StreamYard link. So if you watch us live on the stream, either on Facebook or on Twitter or on, I guess, Instagram, TikTok, all those places, you're going to want to be watching because Kristen is going to be joining us at 10:30. And hopefully, if everything goes well, you will get a glimpse of little Frankie Lou.
Yay.
Yay. We were texting about this last night and I said, are you going to share Frankie Lou? And she said, well, as long as she's not having a meltdown. And I said, that never happens. And she sent me a picture. They had a little baby sized cheese head.
Yeah.
On Francis. She wasn't having it.
Not a fan. I saw the picture.
Not a fan of the cheese head.
Not a fan.
Yeah. So she was pitching a little fit. So we'll see if Frankie Lou plays along. But I would encourage you to watch us on the stream anytime, but especially today from 10:30 to 11. When the new mom joins us, we're going to give her a little news quiz, see how well she's been checked in. Probably not very well.
It's just fine.
For the last couple of weeks. And then we're going to talk baby things. So that's coming up at 10:30. First, though, we're going to start out with something, obviously, that's at the top of the news. The war in Israel, The actions by Gaza right now, the death toll is over 2,200, including 14 Americans. President Biden did make a big speech on this yesterday that was covered by all the major networks. Among the things he said, in this moment, we must be crystal clear. The United States has Israel's back. We will make sure the Jewish and democratic state of Israel can defend itself today, tomorrow, as we always have. That was among the statements by President Biden yesterday. And as I was looking at different articles and reading different pieces about this, there is an article in The Atlantic, and we will have a link to this article in our show notes after the show is over. And it's written by a man called Amir Tibon, and he and his wife and two young daughters, who are both under 5, survived the attack on Saturday. They live in a border town right on the border with Gaza, and this just really stuck out at me, so I just want to share a brief portion of this article of what they went through and Amir's view of how we need to look at this. Here's what he said, part of what he said. We kept our part of the contract. We lived on the border. We went through difficult situations sometimes with mortars and the use of incendiary devices to set fires in the fields. If you live in a place like Nahal Oz, you wake up every morning and you know there are people on the other side of the border who want to kill you and your children. So the contract was, we protect the border and the state protects us. And this government, which is the worst government in the history of the state of Israel, led by a corrupt, dysfunctional, and egotistic man who sees only himself, Benjamin Netanyahu, has failed us. There were warning signs that this will happen. The military and the intelligence agencies warned Israel's neighbors were seeing the internal divide in the country over the government's disastrous plan to eliminate the powers of the judiciary. There were reports coming out as we speak that Egyptian intelligence warned Netanyahu days ago that Hamas was planning something massive on the border. The way that the events of the day unfolded is the worst failure in the history of the state of Israel. People like my father and other retired officers had to come down to save citizens. These are men in their 70s to try and save their own families and others. Meanwhile, the military is falling apart. All the civilian infrastructure that is supposed to support the military and society in such an event is also not functioning. Listen, right now we have to win this war. We have to destroy Hamas. We have to make it impossible for them to ever, ever again conduct anything that is even close to what happened on Saturday. No country in the world can allow something like this to happen to its citizens and just go back to business as usual. I feel very bad for the people of Gaza. I am heartbroken. But this was our 9/11. Again, that's from an article in The Atlanta from a man called Amir Tibon. He and his wife and two young daughters surviving the attack by Hamas on Saturday. And again, we will link the entire article in our show notes after the show wraps up. But it's heartbreaking and tragic in so many different ways. So many different ways. And Todd Alba, when he joined us on Monday, said that there are rules of war. Does anyone ever actually follow rules of war? Is there anything civilized about war? I don't know. I think calling it rules of war is a misnomer. I don't see that there are any rules. And all I know is that we will have to keep watch on this and see what develops. This is not over by any stretch of the imagination. And I think, unfortunately, that the humanitarian crises that are going to stem from this are going to be ongoing and long term. So that's where we are with that. Switching gears a little bit, Greg Bach.
Yes.
We're going to go over to Congress.
It's like my favorite place.
And a couple of things that are going on in Congress. Well, today, the Republicans are meeting in a closed-door meeting to talk about who's going to be the next speaker, Jim Jordan or Steve Scalise.
Wait, I'm not on the list?
I don't think you're on the list.
Man, that's not cool.
I know. It's kind of shocking. But they apparently all had to put their cell phones in envelopes and leave them outside of the room so there would be no leaks.
Gosh.
Because they're also trustworthy.
Yeah, I was going to say they're not going to walk out that door and be like, well, guess what we talked about.
Right. But the other thing that broke that just stood out to me yesterday, Representative George Santos.
Oh, Skippy.
And we've talked about him several times. George Santos, elected Republican from New York, in all kinds of trouble already for alleged fraud and other naughty things. Now, other naughty things. Greg.
He's the naughtiest congressman in D.C.
Is he the naughtiest? I don't know.
No, I doubt that.
He's just the most prominent one that we're talking about right now. So he is now facing 10 new federal charges, including allegations of stealing donors' identities and running up fraudulent credit card charges. He charged donors' credit cards without their authorization for personal gain, allegedly falsified records, created and submitted false campaign reports listing non-existent loans, and fabricated and stole campaign contributions. And he says, I'm not resigning today. He said that today.
Yeah, he didn't do it, Jane.
I'm pleading innocent to all the charges. I'm not stepping down. It's all good. Bring it on. And I haven't heard one Republican come out and say anything against him. Like, I don't know, maybe you should resign.
And they won't. They're not going to. That's not their way of doing it. They hide their heads in the sand and hope it goes away. Either he resigns and walks away or people just forget.
I don't know that people are going to forget.
Well, no, I don't think so either. I mean, this is going to be, if he makes it to reelection, which, I mean, at this point.
Who's going to donate to his campaign? Here, George, here's my credit
card. Here's
cash. Oh, yeah, here's cash because I don't want you to have my card.
I mean, it comes down to, I mean, this party, the GOP, is a reflection of their leader. Whether they like it or not, Donald Trump is their leader. It is this absolute inability to admit wrong, to admit fault, to admit, because it's weakness. And therefore, if any of the members of the party do that, I think the only person who stood up to him was Mitt Romney. And Mitt Romney isn't running again because he can't survive in this party, right, in this formation. So with Senator Menendez,
who is a Democrat,
he has been accused of naughty things as well.
Oh, like finding gold bars, yeah, and $430,000 in cash in his home that he said he just did that because, well, I don't know, he likes to bank at home. Okay.
I have my own branch. Yeah, it's under my bed.
It's the Menendez branch, yes, of the Menendez Bank.
There he is.
But there does seem to be different standards for Democrats and Republicans when it comes to being caught doing naughty things.
Yeah.
When this news about Menendez broke, it was almost instantaneous that there were calls for him to either, he's got to get off of some of these committees for one thing.
Yeah.
And also calls that he should resign. And granted, he said too, I'm innocent, I'm not pleading guilty, I'm not going to resign. But at least some members of his own party were like, this is bad.
Yeah,
it's a bad reflection on the party.
The senator from his own state, Cory Booker, said he should resign. And now, here's the thing is, the Democrats have said this. Has Menendez resigned? No.
Nope.
And when Al Franken got in trouble, Democrats said you should resign. He resigned. I mean, I'm sure Al Franken is probably like, in today's climate, he could have weathered this storm.
Absolutely.
But the Republicans do nothing because they can't lose any ranks because they're going to lose that seat. If he backs out and they have to run a special election, the Democrats would probably end up winning that seat because the Democrats would take it seriously.
Right. I just find it interesting that there are completely different rules when it comes to accountability. If you want to check in on this, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. And then I also want to remind folks about Donald Trump's good friend and advisor, Steve Bannon.
What did he do?
And what Steve Bannon did to Trump supporters and then got pardoned for it. Because again, that's all apparently just fine.
Well, you said the rules. I think we should rework that. It's not the rules, it's the expectations. We had expectations for a long time. Someone did something like this, they would step down. That's no longer, the expectations are no longer being met because they don't have to be, because there are no consequences unless you get to the final step, which is a trial.
And even then, in some instances, people were found guilty of crimes and they were pardoned by Trump on his way out the White House door.
Yep.
844-967-2789. You can call, you can text, you can leave a comment on the live stream. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we are taking your calls and your texts at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Kicking around Republican Congressman George Santos, who is now facing a bunch more charges about stealing donors' credit cards and defrauding them and all kinds of just, you would think, typically unelectable things, but apparently not. So we're just looking at different ways and how the Democrats and the Republicans hold their members accountable. 844-967-2789. Jack from Merrimack is on the phone. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. Yeah, this Republican Party is really something else. First of all, they're damaging our international credibility by pulling this. I guess I can't use that word on the air.
We'd rather you didn't.
Thanks, Jack.
pulling this Speaker of the House thing, they can't do anything. So basically, they paralyzed our government in the House. In the Senate, we've got hundreds, literally, of military advancements that are being held up by one senator.
Yep.
We also do not have an ambassador to Israel, even,
right?
Because that person hasn't been approved. And this party is just, I've been saying this for years. The Republican Party's philosophy of governing is this: break the government and blame the Democrats. And it's been that way for decades.
You're absolutely right, Jack. And I want to say it was PJ O'Rourke who has the famous quote, "Republicans do nothing but complain about how the government is broken, and then they get elected and they prove it."
Yeah, that's about it.
Thank you so much for the call, Jack. Yeah, really appreciate it.
Thanks.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Bill from Oconomowoc. Good morning, Bill. What do you think about this?
Good morning. You know, as far as the Republicans, it's you call it Looney Tunes. Doesn't have cartoons as crazy as the Republicans. Their best candidate, their number one man, 91 felonies. Now let's go to their Speaker of the House. The guy they want for Speaker of the House has had a subpoena hanging over his head for over 300-plus days and refuses to answer. This is the best they come up with. This is not the worst. This is their best. If that's their best, somebody help me out. What's the worst? I really don't understand. You know, I know what bad is, and they can prove it, but tell me who's worse than the people they even want elected. Half of them are criminals. They talk about the illegals. There's more illegals in Congress. If you look at the congressional record, these guys took an oath to defend our country against foreign and domestic terror. They tore that up within days of taking the oath, and they voided the oath. Our problem is, though, for that bunch of goofballs, we have some inactive people that are waiting forever to take action and say, you people can't even run. Where is those people speaking? They're not even eligible, according to our Constitution or oath of office, to run for office. As they say in the court, I rest my case. Thanks so much for letting me speak.
Always love having you join the show, Bill. Thank you so very much. We have a new caller. Terry from Stevens Point is on the line. Good morning, Terry. Thank you for joining us. What do you want to say?
What do you think of Joe Biden giving terrorist groups $6 billion taxpayer dollars?
Okay, Terry, that didn't happen, and we talked about that yesterday, and that's not American taxpayer money. That $6 billion was money that South Korea paid to Iran for oil. So that is not that's just not applicable to this discussion, and we're actually talking about George Santos right now and Steve Bannon. I do want to get some of this in real quickly about Steve Bannon because we're coming up against a break. President Trump gave a full pardon to Steve Bannon right before he left office after Bannon was charged and three others with defrauding donors of more than $1 million as part of a fundraising campaign purportedly to support Trump's border wall. So just think about that. Bannon, through a nonprofit under his control, allegedly used more than $1 million from We Build the Wall to cover hundreds of thousands of dollars in Bannon's personal expenses. As Adam Schiff, the Democrat from California, said at the time, Steve Bannon is getting a pardon from Trump after defrauding Trump's own supporters into paying for a wall that Trump promised Mexico would pay for. And if that all sounds crazy, that's because it is. So again, I don't think I think it's glaringly obvious that the two parties treat accountability far differently.
I think it also says something that for the second day in a row, someone called up with a boldly false claim because that's all they have are these, well, what do you think about? It's not true. So we're not going to think about it. Right. Thank you.
Right. And again, that's something that we addressed yesterday. And if you check more than one news source, you will likely find that information. Again, that this was not $6 billion in taxpayer money that President Biden just gave to Iran. That's not accurate.
I don't want to read.
You don't want to read. Well, reading is hard. I know.
It's fundamental.
Reading is fundamental and requires, I don't know, comprehension and things like that. Okay, we are going to move on. On the other side of the break, we have the news coming up in just a couple of minutes. When we come back, new mom Kristen Bry will be joining us. If you're not watching on the stream, I highly encourage you to do so. She's going to be joining us from home, and hopefully at some point in the next half hour, we will get a glimpse of little Frankie Lou. That's coming up. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
CBS News special report, Israeli troops have recovered bodies from inside Gaza, but Lieutenant Colonel Peter Lerner says they expect to find many more.
There are still people unaccounted for. There are still bodies missing.
A hospital director in southern Gaza says he expects generator power to run out by tomorrow morning. The BBC's Roshdi Abu Alouf in Gaza.
The humanitarian situation is deteriorating reaching the level of catastrophic.
National Security Spokesman Jake Sullivan tells Face the Nation the U.S. is trying to help.
The United States will work with Israel, the United Nations, Egypt, Jordan, and other countries to do all that we can to ensure the protection of civilians and that those civilians have access to the basic necessities of food and water, of shelter, of medicine.
Sullivan says water has been turned on again in southern Gaza. Egypt is opening a border crossing so humanitarian aid can flow in and so people trying to leave have a way out. CBS News Special Report, I'm Peter King.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the 93.5 The Tap.
Back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board, and we have two very special guests who are joining us. And if you're watching the live stream, you're in for a treat. Kristen Bry and Francis Louise. Good morning. How are you both?
We're both doing pretty well. She just ate, so she's awake but calm.
She's very
She's pretty calm in general.
Is
so,
you said that the picture you texted me last night of her wearing that little infant-sized cheese hat and she's screaming was hilarious.
Less of a fan of the hat.
Yeah.
Less of a fan of actually getting her diaper changed, but that's about it.
Really?
Otherwise, she's pretty chill otherwise.
Now, I just saw her Sunday and she looks bigger already.
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, she was born, she was a peanut at 6 pounds and 13 ounces when she was born. And we're going in for a 2-week checkup on Thursday, tomorrow. And I'm like, this kid's definitely back to her birth weight, if not, and then some, because she's like, she's feeling heavier. But then I like look at pictures like on the live stream right now, but she's still a peanut.
She's a little bean.
The cliche is true, is like they change really quickly.
Well, and that's why, are you getting anything done? Because even when I was there to see you on Sunday, just watching her face is fascinating. I could watch her face for hours. Just, you wonder what they're thinking, you know, you can't have any memories yet, you know, and her eyebrows are doing different things, and then she smiles, or then she frowns, or she looks disgusted by something, and it's hours of entertainment.
Hours of entertainment, yeah. It's wild how quickly, who was it that gave us the advice on, when Mike was on the last day before I left for maternity leave, that with the days are long, but the years are short. But even the days feel short right now, because it's one of the busiest but most bored times, in that, you know, like you have these plans of getting certain stuff done during the day, and then all of a sudden it's like 3 p.m. And you're like, whoa, wait, what? And so now, especially with daylight savings coming up, when all of a sudden it's going to start getting dark even earlier, I think it's just going to be a total like mind trip as far as how quickly the days go. But she's like, what did I actually do today? Because I'd stare at her and change diapers and pull my boob out a lot.
That could be the title of a book.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
That's your advice to a new mom. You're going to just stare at your child and pull your boob out a lot.
Pull your boob out.
Well, do you want to do the quiz first?
Sure. Let's talk about what I've... It's a really weird time. Like, when your job normally is to talk about the news, this is a really weird time to not be talking about the news. And I have very mixed feelings on whether it's like the best time to not have to have a take. Because it's like the things that I do know as far as what I have like through osmosis and just, again, when my boob's out, I'm typically scrolling through my phone. But like, you know, typically everything becomes, all right, what do I actually think about this? Because I have to talk about this. But the fact that at the state level, the country level, and the world level of how much craziness is happening right now, I think it's a good thing that I'm just like, just stare at your baby. Just stare at your baby.
Just look at her eyebrows for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And it'll keep you company.
Do you hear about what's going on in Israel? My baby's adorable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we made this pretty easy for you because it's multiple choice.
Oh, okay.
All right. So we didn't want to make it too hard for you. So this is our first round of What Did I Miss with Kristen Bry. Here we go. Question number one. Which former Wisconsin Supreme Court justice informed Assembly Speaker Robin Voss that impeaching newly elected Justice Janet Protasiewicz basically has no basis in reality? Was it A, Jeanine, what?
I said shocker.
I know, right? A, Jeanine Geske, B, David Prosser, C, Judge Judy, or D, Patience Rogensack?
I know this because I listened to the show this week. It is David Prosser.
Well done. All right. She's got the first one.
I brought sound effects.
Nice. Impressive. All right, Kristen, on to question number two. New Mom News Quiz. Which Republican governor is in some hot water over the purchase of a $19,000 podium? A, Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves. B, Illinois' Rod Blagojevich. C, South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem. D, Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Wait, a $19,000 podium?
Yes, it's being called podium. It's being called Podium Gate.
Is it like encrusted with diamonds? Like what makes a podium $19,000?
She purchased it from a friend who owns a podium company.
Well, that's a clue. So it takes of the. Is it Sarah Huckabee Sanders?
It is.
Wow. That one is a total guess. I had not heard she. Okay.
All right.
Okay. There's still details out there that are floating around, and there's still a lot of questions to be answered. But from what I understand, the state of Arkansas purchased this $19,000 podium from a friend of Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and some reporter caught wind of it and asked for some open records, and they changed the date on some things after that happened. So, whoops. Yeah, that's kind of a, shouldn't do that.
What an oopsie doodles.
Oopsie doodles, that's bad. All right, you
weren't. Like, we knew we weren't supposed to be doing that.
And now we know for sure. Yep, okay. Number three, you're 2 for 2 right now. You're doing great. Which one of the following is running to replace Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House? Is it A, Jim Jordan, B, Paul Gosar, C, Andy Biggs, or Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy, because Groot is arguably a better speaker than any of the other options that we have?
Good answer. I know this one. Well, it's Jim Jordan. And then is the other one still Scalise?
Yep. Jim Jordan and Steve
Scalise. Is there anyone else? Has anyone else joined?
No one else has joined. They are meeting behind closed doors today. And they all had to turn in their phones because apparently nobody trusts each other from not tweeting out or Xing out what's going on in this super secret session. And even with just the two of them, from what I've been reading this morning, it doesn't sound like there's any guarantee that either of them are going to get enough votes.
They even asked Matt Gaetz, and he's like, I don't know, whoever is the best. And you're the guy who engineered this whole thing.
Whoever is the best? Yeah. Oh, God. I just saw something on scrolling through Instagram at like 3 a.m. last night. Nancy Mace like showed up with like a scarlet letter like red tape that she put on her white tee from like the Gap and was like, oh, I've been wearing this all week. It's like, didn't you just put this on yourself?
Like, well, and her whole thing is she did that because I'm a woman and I've been saying unpopular things. So that gives you a scarlet letter.
Sorry, Lauren Bober just called, said, get in line, pal.
Yeah, hold my beer. Yeah.
Oh, we can pass out so many A's, that would take an entire day. If you are just joining us, new mom Kristen Bry is here with Frances Louise, and I highly encourage you to jump on one of our live streams. You can find us live on Facebook and Twitter and, what's the other one, Kristen, Instagram?
No, we can do, it's YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook for the live stream.
All right, so make sure you check it out. While we have little Frances, and she's being really good.
She's being really good. She's actually, from this angle, she looks like she's sleeping, but she's just staring at me.
Cool. Is she focusing yet?
She focuses on these high contrast cards, which is pretty cool to watch her go from like a little cross-eyed to actually focusing. That's a little like, and then she's like, oh yeah, I could actually see that.
I can only imagine how big your face must look to her, you know?
Probably, especially when I get very close.
Very close, exactly. All right, on to the next question. Which Republican member of the House is accused by a member of his own party of showing off pictures of women he'd had sex with on the House floor and also bragging on the House floor about his use of erectile dysfunction drugs so he could, quote, go all night? Is it A, Glenn Grothman, B, Patrick McHenry, C, Matt Gaetz, or D, Chip Roy?
I had not heard this story yet, but I'm just educated guess. We're going to go with Matt Gaetz.
That is correct. Yes. And
is that a recent story? I feel like that's been news.
That came out. Well, another congressman came out after.
A Republican.
Last week when he helped oust McCarthy, he brought it back into the world.
Because you're right, Kristen. That's a story from a couple of years ago. I can remember hearing about this at least 2 years ago, that Gaetz would bring pictures of his dates or whatever in various stages of nudity on the House floor and show them off to his buddies, other members of the House, like they got their own little frat boy thing going on.
We did have an extra point, though.
We do have an extra point. If you can tell us how Matt Gaetz said he ingested the erectile dysfunction drugs.
Oh, the fact that you've suggested it, that it would not be orally, makes me think that it's probably anally.
No.
That's not it.
Well, it was, he crushed them and would chase them with a energy drink.
Yep.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay, so I was a little off.
That sounds about right, right? Well, you are doing really, really good on this quiz. We only have one more question left. Which celebrity does not share Frankie Lou's birthday of September 28th? Is it A? Ooh. Is it A, Naomi Watts, B, Mira Sorvino, C, Groot, or D, Bridget Bardot?
Is the third one Groot again?
Yes.
All right, it's Groot. It is I don't Groot. Think Groot has a birthday.
That is correct.
I did not have a hand in writing this quiz.
Are you dissing my quiz?
I just feel like Groot was overkill.
I think it's a funny name.
Okay.
I just like it's a funny word.
Well, it's a 100% there.
Absolutely.
A+.
Holy, did,
look
yes.
at that. Look at that. Just scrolling through those socials can still kind of stay up to date.
Well, well done. Well done. We will do this again next week if we're going to make this a regular thing. We're going to do a regular Wednesday thing with you. And has anybody else stopped by? Has anybody else been able to meet her since you've been home?
Friend of the show, Joe Zepecki, and his wife, Melissa, are coming over literally for lunch today. They're bringing me sushi.
Oh, nice.
Very exciting.
That's nice.
Who else? Greg was really busy. So Greg has not gotten so he had an entire festival to run. So Greg will have to come over soon. Family's all met her. A couple friends have met her, but it's kind of getting to the stage. It's fun now. Like, I feel like my, I'm not a germaphobe. Like, I'm not a high anxiety person as far as, like, you got to be careful, like, in general, but also just with a baby, I haven't been super, like, you have to wash your hands, you have to,
right.
And so,
wear a mask.
But then I had mom guilt, because then I was like, should I be that person? So it's been mostly kind of like an open door, is like, we're not doing much, we're just sitting here chilling most of the day. So people, as they've wanted to stop by and either bring food or diapers or something. We've had a good rotation of folks through.
Well, that was kind of one thing that surprised you too, because she's so small that you're going to need a lot more tiny diapers for probably longer than you thought.
None of her 0 to 3 stuff fits her yet. And so all the clothes, because I think we just assumed, being like a 5'10 and 6'3 person, that we were going to have a bigger baby.
Sure.
But she's such a peanut that like none of the stuff that's 0 to 3 months fits her. So we had to like have friends bring over some of their hand-me-down newborn stuff. I've ordered some Amazon just like plain white onesies to be able to like actually dress her every day. But yeah, now like because it was prime days, no, sorry for the free promotion, but I was like, all right, like how much, it's like that gamble, it's like how long do I think you're gonna be under 8 pounds? Is it worth buying more stuff or just wrapping you in a blanket for a couple more weeks?
Well, you got your next checkup coming up soon, right? You said, and so we'll see
tomorrow.
How she's doing tomorrow, yeah. How she's doing with her weight and stuff. If you have any questions you have for the new mom, 844-967-2789. If you're watching on the live stream, you can post a question there as well. Kristen will be back with Frankie Lou on the other side of the break. I hope you will stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Wisconsin, 10 minutes before 11 o'clock, Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry, Greg Bach on the board, and Kristen and baby Frances joining us live right now. She's so cute. She's just she's so darn cute. I'm going to call her Frankie Lou Who because she reminds me of a who bill.
Okay. Would you say, Greg, her boopable nose?
Her boopable nose. It's a very boopable nose.
Absolutely. And we
it
did
a pretty poople nose.
We did have just one comment on the live stream with a emoji face with a big hearts for eyes. So if you have any questions or comments from Sarah at 844-967-2789, you can call and or text, and we're going to make this a regular Wednesday conversation with Kristen while she is off on maternity leave. So what's been the most surprising thing so far with what she's 10 days old?
She will be 2 weeks tomorrow.
2 weeks tomorrow.
So technically she's 13 days today. What has been the most surprising? I don't know. I think, I'm feeling like the sleep deprivation is not like she's sleeping in like 2 hours at a time, 2 hours stretches.
Okay.
So I'm still getting like in total 6 to 7 hours,
but it's all broken
up. But it's
up.
Just not, yeah, it's just not in a row.
Right.
But that's been okay. I think it's as much like breastfeeding is exhausting. Like, I think, like, not the actual act of it, but I'm way hungrier now than I ever was during my pregnancy.
Really?
Way hungrier. Like, during my pregnancy, like, I kind of ate what I wanted, but I didn't really, like, there was never, like, oh my God, I am hangry. Like, feed me now.
Yeah.
Versus now, I'm way hungrier. So that's been an interesting change. And I don't know. I feel like it's still just that moment of, like, Mike and I, every once in a while, just looking at her and be like, we made that. Like, oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Like, she's ours forever.
Yep. She's not going away anytime soon. That's for sure. And it's like we were joking when they said on Sex and the City, today is your day not to kill the baby. Tomorrow is your day not to kill the baby.
Yep. Well, most of the days are my days right now.
How's Mike feeling? How's Mike doing with his back?
He is doing okay. He had Oktoberfest this weekend,
yeah,
which was a huge success. It was slammed.
The weather was perfect.
The weather was perfect, but he was moving around and doing a lot for 3 days in a row. And so, he was a little sore last night. So he's overall, he's doing great, but, yeah, it's we're both just not totally at 100%, which has been interesting. My mom was here for almost a whole week. She came on Wednesday and stayed till yesterday morning. And so that was a huge help. We have our fridge is stocked to the brim,
I bet,
with food, homemade food by Mama Bry.
Nice.
The original Mama Bry.
She's Grandmama Bry now.
Yeah, she's Bubby Bry. That's what she wanted. She wanted Bubby. versus Bubby. In Grandma. She has multiple shirts that say Bubby on it.
I love it.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
Me too.
That's the only thing I look that bums me out about not being a parent ever is I'm never going to be a grandpa.
And what would you want to be called if you were grandpa?
Anything but grandpa. I don't mind the name, but like I just feel like all the names nowadays are just great. Opa or Bumpa or whatever. I don't care. It's just like cute. So cute.
And when did you want to share about her volcanic that you referenced in your text this morning?
Well, so I mean, I always knew this was an option. Well, I knew it was more so with boys, like with a boy baby. The likelihood of getting pee in your face is inevitable.
Sure.
Because of the anatomy. But what's twice now, once it's happened to me, and I think once it's happened to Mike, where, because, you know, like as you try to help them with their little digestion, you're kind of doing like a little bicycle kicks for them or moving their tummy around, helping things move. And you hear, usually when you're holding them, like a big wet fart, which is adorable and funny. But it's less fun. Well, it's fine. It's actually funny when it happens because it's just, you're like, oh, this is a volcano of poop. And so there's been a couple times that we've gone to change her diaper, you know, and you lift up her legs to stick the new diaper underneath. And then it literally is just a volcano out of that tiny little butthole of yellow mustard colored seedy breast milk poop. And you're like, all right, well, clean this up.
Well, and from what I have heard is that once she starts eating, you know, different food and solid foods,
it's a different game.
Much different game. And if you think it's less than appealing now, I've heard that it gets much worse.
Yeah, it's actually not that bad now. It's mostly funny and it like kind of stinks, but it's actually not that bad. But I think, yeah, once the solid foods come in, you're like, it's a different ball game.
Katel RJ on the stream has a comment. How has Frankie handled riding in a vehicle so far? Has she had more than one ride?
So she's gone home from the hospital. She went to a pediatrician, and then we actually did stop by Oktoberfest on Saturday. And she doesn't love getting put into the car seat, like having the seatbelt and all the adjustments. But then once she's like strapped in and the car is moving, she's fine.
Does she just automatically conk out and go into a coma?
Pretty much. And so it's kind of just the adjustment period of that. But then she's okay. She likes the soft carrier. We've gone on a couple walks of her just zonking out, like being next to my body. Like, and then I've managed to be able to walk with her and Cliff at the same time by myself. So that felt like
that's an accomplishment.
How is Cliff adjusting? I've seen some pictures of like mild reservation.
That's probably a good way to put it. Like he acknowledges her, he gives her a couple kisses. He's by no means obsessed with her. And he is certainly adjusting, I think, as far as he knows that things are a little different now.
Well, and I think I texted this to you too. He's got to be thinking, are we keeping this weird dog?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't smell like another dog. I know it's something and they seem to like it.
How come I don't get pants?
Right. Why don't I have outfits? Come on. What's up with this? Well, we're all so happy for you. We are just delighted and over the moon and can't wait till all of us get a chance to hold her and sway her and boop that little boopable nose. But for now, we're going to wrap this up. We have another guest after the top of the hour news. Scott Klug is going to be here. He's going to talk about his new podcast. You will be back with us next Wednesday morning at 10:30 from 10:30 to 11. And we'll do a little growth chart and see how Frankie Boo is doing.
See how big she is. Those feet are big. That's for sure. So, all right. Well, you guys are doing a great job. Can't wait to keep listening.
All right. Stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You are listening to that's what it is. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
You got it, Jane.
What's my name?
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors
Association.
You're
listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on